someone has already done and is already doing what you want to do. And no, they didn't fall into a rich family to do so. They were not born lucky. You know you can be more. You can have more, do more, and be more. You know this. You wouldn't be listening otherwise.
Hey, you guys, welcome back to another episode of Millennial Market Talk. Today is going to be a pretty fun episode. I'm your host, Mark Jones, and I've got a special guest, which is a pretty cool kind of concept twist, so to speak. It is my coach, my own personal coach, Katie Hassan. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
Awesome. Okay, so now that I mentioned that you are my coach personally, I'm going to say who you're for, all that good stuff, in addition to kind of the way that you're structured in the sense that you're self-employed. So she is with Southwestern Consulting.
I am.
They are the number one coaching firm in the United States. Is that accurate?
Yes. Okay. Well, number one division of the Southwestern family of companies. Yeah.
So she's kind of a boss.
Well, thank you.
So I want to know, and our listeners want to know, who you are, where you came from, how you got to being where you are, all that good stuff. But before that, we're going to jump into some trivia. Okay.
Okay.
A little millennial trivia.
Uh-oh.
So you're getting off a little easy. We normally have 10, and we're going to go with 5 questions here.
So, all right, let's go.
Yep. You can only get, let's say, 2 wrong to not pass.
Dun.
All right. Okay. So you ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Number one, which Saved by the Bell cast member was so excited that she couldn't hide it in the breakdown or meltdown episode?
Oh, gosh. We're talking specifics here.
Yeah.
Oh, what was, is it Jesse? What was his girlfriend's name?
You said it.
Is it?
Yep.
Okay.
It was Jesse. Jesse Spano. That's exactly right.
Like,
wow.
But okay. Yeah, Jesse, and then.
I was sure that you were going to get stumped on that one. Good job.
Gosh, it's like pulling from the file box back there.
That's awesome. Okay, next one. Finish this sentence. Welcome to Good Burger, home of the
Good Burger.
Nailed it. Okay, good deal. Moving on to number 3. She's kind of a millennial, y'all.
Uh-oh.
Let's see here. Number 3, how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop?
Ooh.
Now, this is one that I've asked before, but I like it so much and think it's so cool in our generation.
The world may never know. No?
No.
No?
I thought
the owl was like...
Okay, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
And then it just bites
it. But to that accord, how many licks?
Oh, gosh. Is there a number?
1, 2, 3.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I kind of got it right.
Yeah. Okay, I'll give you partial on that. Number 4, name at least 3 of the Backstreet Boys. And like
Wait,
I said,
not,
I'll have Lindsay double check me on this.
Not confuse the boy bands here. Actually, Backstreet Boys was the first concert I ever went to. So
no way.
Should know this.
Okay, yes. When was that? What year was that? Come on, bring it.
Let me think of the names first.
Okay.
Nick? Is that one of them?
That's one. Yep.
Joey. And... Nope. I'm confusing Backstreet Boys and NSYNC now. Nick, Joey, and...
I don't know.
I mean, I'm like, I've got 2 of them. I can picture their faces. Does that count?
And my operations sales manager, when she listens to this, she's going to hate me for this because it's her favorite group ever. Lindsay, help us out.
Oh, my goodness.
Joey, Nick.
Lance.
No, that's NSYNC. That's
Dang.
Where I went.
Okay, well, we both got that wrong. And all of you guys that are laughing at us right now.
It's on the spot.
We're laughing
thing.
At you.
Gosh.
Okay, so 1 wrong thus far, and I would have gotten that wrong too. Last question. You ready?
I think so.
Okay. What was the name of the figure skater that assaulted Nancy Kerrigan?
Ooh. Oh, man.
Isn't that a fire question?
Yeah. She's blonde. Oh, my gosh. You would do this one. I'm like, I actually used to watch gymnastics and figure skating.
That's why I asked.
Tanya Harding.
Nailed it. Okay,
yes.
Good deal. So you were 4 for 5, proving that you are absolutely a millennial. That being said, I want to dive straight into who you are, where you came from. Katie, where'd you come from? Where'd you grow up? What was it like?
St. Petersburg, Florida.
Okay.
And similar to Texas, it's hot most yeah. of the year.
Humid.
Humid, mm-hmm. yes. Born and raised in St. Pete.
Okay.
Back in my day, it was...
Same day as me.
yeah. It was a small town, okay. really known for like old people. And now I feel like it's kind of like a San Antonio where it's like up and coming.
Small
it's
town, totally growing. Changed.
I moved back there about 6 years ago and it's completely different. Like it's still growing. It's wow. insane.
Well, it's doing that everywhere. Being yeah. in the real estate mortgage industry, I mean, it's no secret.
Right.
So you growing up there, what was the family life like? I want to kind of mm-hmm. illustrate, did you grow up, parents?
Yeah.
Siblings, all
yeah,
that
yeah,
jazz.
Yeah, yeah, I got you. Yeah, no, I love my parents. They've been married for 43 years.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah. Only child. Okay. But I don't like to say, like, I don't have the only child syndrome.
You probably have the only child syndrome.
Oh, goodness.
My wife is an only child and swore that she doesn't have the only child syndrome, but she absolutely does. Love you.
We'll probably get along.
That's awesome. Yes.
No, but I grew up with cousins and like I call her my sister because we grew up across the street together. So yeah, we still are good friends to this day. So I am an only child, but grew up in St. Pete, only child. And yeah.
So what did your parents do? I want to be direct. What did your parents do growing up?
Yeah. So my dad has a printing company with his brothers.
Okay.
And probably one of the hardest workers sure. I know.
Okay.
Since he was 14, still works to this day harder than anybody I know.
Okay.
My mom did the full-time mom, which...
Domestic engineer.
Yes.
The toughest job.
Yes.
I
it
agree.
Is a full-time job
yes.
as well. Because she was running me between...
Everything.
Art camp and sports and anything under the sun you could imagine.
That's so. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, obviously, your father being an owner, you got... And did they start that business? Did they
buy it? My grandfather started
okay,
it.
So mm-hmm. he... pretty much was the backbone of it. And let me ask, because I have in other episodes, did that take away from your upbringing? The mm-hmm. fact that a business owner had to take time away, or did he have a good mm-hmm. balance? What was your perception on that growing up?
Mm-hmm. And I think not only do I feel like I learned a lot of valuable like lessons around working hard mm-hmm. And being a business owner, but he was there at every single sporting game.
That's
like
awesome.
Not only was there at every basketball, softball, volleyball game, but he was the one there bringing the cooler for Powerade and water for all the teammates. And my mom was there too. Like
sure.
we both were there.
Well, that's
and
cool so, to have gone through that and seeing that it is possible to be a business owner and have that balance,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's pretty cool. So let's go into education. Let's go down that rabbit hole. So, mm-hmm. Tell me, did you go to college, number one?
Did.
Okay.
I went to University of South Florida, go Bulls.
Okay, good deal. And what did you major there? What was that like?
So it's interesting story. When I got to college, I didn't really know what I wanted to do.
Okay.
And I was undecided.
Who does, right?
Right.
I'm still growing up.
Yeah. So, yeah, the first year going to college, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I was kind of exploring things, and I just had a very, like, I had to go to college to mm-hmm. be successful kind of thought process.
Mm-hmm.
And over the course of my career, I thought I wanted to do physical therapy.
Okay.
And then I got into chemistry.
Okay.
And then I said, I don't want to go this route anymore.
Makes sense.
Let's
okay.
go to business.
Yeah.
And so I majored in international business and Spanish.
Very good. So you speak Spanish.
I do.
Okay. For those that can't see and are just listening, that would surprise you. It surprised me. But you never know these days, right?
Yes.
So... in college, you had mentioned the perception of what you thought college was going to be. Were you surprised once you got in and through? What was that?
I was. And it's you know how they say hindsight is 20/20?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's interesting to see how like your perspective can change over
Absolutely.
Time. And that's like one of the biggest reasons why I'm passionate about what I would do now, but I'm sure we'll talk about that later.
We absolutely will.
But yeah, like going into college, I thought, okay, you have to go to college, you have to get your degree. And I did the honors fraternity and the business fraternity and all of these things that were great resume builders. And
right.
I definitely don't regret doing any of that. But graduating college,
yeah.
I had those things and my perception of, okay, well, after you go to college, you get a job, you do this 9-to-5, you wear your suit, you... look professional, are professional, and that's what you're supposed to do.
Right. And I believe that has a lot to do with the way our parents were raised mm-hmm. and the way they raised us. Mm-hmm. The idea behind go to school, get good grades, get a good job,
right,
and repeat and take mm-hmm. care of your family. In my opinion, those times have changed mm-hmm. because of evolution and technology and access to everything pretty much by your hand, you yeah. know? Yeah. So in that.
And I think that depends on the individual.
Agree.
Like for some people, that's awesome. Like I have friends who love what they do and they are in corporate America mm-hmm. and they love it. And I think it's a great fit for some people.
No, and I won't discredit that at all. I think that college in some way, shape, or form is necessary for certain trades, certain levels of intellect, knowledge, mm-hmm. skill set. Mm-hmm. But I would also say that trade schools, and the best one is truly just getting out there and doing it, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Learning trial by fire or trial yeah. by air, however you want to call that.
And that's one thing that I think colleges now are getting better at it. Like I know some colleges now have a sales program and mm-hmm. they have these other things. But originally, it's just like I felt like I was in such a fixed mindset around right. what you need to do in order to be this. And I think that perspective drastically shifted not only through college, but especially once I graduated. And mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, now I have 2 degrees and all these things. And I didn't go get that job that I thought was what you're supposed to do right after.
Right.
I actually started working at a gymnastics gym.
So let me ask you. During college, were you working or were you a full-time student and that's why you were able to do all the extracurriculars?
Both.
Okay.
So I did all the extracurriculars. I did every intramural sport you could imagine. I was on a dance team, did all the fun stuff.
Yeah.
But I also worked as a intramural ref.
So okay,
cool. It wasn't like a serious job. It was just...
You were working.
Yeah.
Period. You were seeing what it was like. You were getting a paycheck.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Some... And I can't say some or most because I really don't know. Mm-hmm. But I would imagine that a lot of our generation didn't get a job. Mm-hmm. A lot of them didn't get a job for the first time until they were done with college because that's what their parents instilled in them. You need
focus
to be educated,
school.
Focus on school. Mm-hmm. We'll mm-hmm. cover everything for you. You don't worry about that. And
right.
what I'm seeing, I mean, it's not fact. It's just my perception mm-hmm. is a lot of that group is still struggling to find out what it is that they're mm-hmm. wanting to do in mm-hmm. life.
And it's hard because it's like you see it from like, I now see it from my parents' perspective. I'm mm-hmm. not a parent yet, but I can see the want to help your kids and help make it easier on them. And mm-hmm. then I also saw and experienced how that in some ways created a crutch.
Sure.
So okay. I know exactly what you're talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah. Okay. Well, as you graduated from college, you decided to go into, you had mentioned a moment ago, gymnastics coach.
Yeah. So okay. I found myself working on at an hourly rate.
Okay.
I've actually never had a salary, but we could talk about that later.
Okay.
But,
okay.
but I worked, I was trading my time for my money.
Okay.
Know? It's like, okay, I go from here to here. I mean, like I said, it was still a great experience. I made some really good friends I'm still friends with today.
Sure.
Retaught myself gymnastics at 24 years old.
Wow.
like,
wow.
like so fun times, good
yes.
experience. But when it came down to like, what am I doing with my career? Like,
right.
Why did I go to college? I started questioning all of those things. Like, what am I going to do?
Gotcha.
What do I want to do?
Sure. Sure. Mm-hmm. And you had not experienced different things. You had only known what you knew at that point in time. So mm-hmm. jumping into the gymnastics, where did it take you from there? Mm-hmm. I mean, there has to be a pivot.
There was a pivot.
Okay.
So
tell me about the pivot.
That sister that I referenced earlier, the really good friend of mine, while I was in college, she had tried recruiting me for this door-to-door book sales thing.
Okay. Okay.
And
door-to-door book sales.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. You know, that's not how she explained it. She tried to recruit me in a variety of different ways throughout college, and I had every excuse in the book not to do it, whether it was summer classes or vacation or it's my summer vacation.
Right.
You know, all of the excuses you could imagine a college
student. You didn't
student.
Need the money, bottom line.
I didn't need it.
Right?
And then I had the influence of parents not wanting me to do it, mm-hmm. all of those external factors
Makes
as well,
sense.
Too. So long story short, it came to be about that time. And then I became that person after I met all of these amazing people that were self-starters, go-getters, like just down-to-earth, really good people.
Okay.
that was kind of like her final close. Like, you know, all these really cool people who've done this. Why would you not do it? And I'm like, next summer I will.
And at that time, were the people that you knew, were they successful at it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you being 24, 25-ish, jumping into something that somebody pitching that, I mean, that's a tough sale, number one. I'm selling books door to door. What was that like? I mean, where were you working for a company? Take me down that road, because people listening are going to go, wait a minute, is she Mormon? it's true.
Oh, goodness, no. So, going down that rabbit hole. when she presented it, it was more so like, hey, you're a business, like you're in international business. And it's not only business people who are college students who benefit from this, but originally it's just like, how would you like to learn how to run your own business? You know, you actually get to go promote education to families.
Okay.
And, you know, it's, you get to travel and all of these things that I love doing. And so.
So was this gig, so to speak, at the time, was it like a Cutco? We give you the products, we take a cut, you do you type situation.
So essentially, yeah. And this is Southwestern Advantage.
Okay. Gotcha.
So it's called Southwestern Advantage. It's actually the oldest direct sales company in the country. So 165 years ago, Civil War veterans started selling Bibles door to door.
Wow.
And 165 years later, college kids still go to a different state. You knock on doors about 80 hours a week, selling educational reference books and a website now. So it's
That's
an educational
awesome.
System to families. So pretty much she's like, all right, you're going to do this or not? I'm like, yes, I will. I'm going to go do this. And so
that's pretty
how
cool.
That started.
And earlier, I had to make an introduction, or I gave an introduction for a presentation or web, workshop that we were doing here at the office. And as I'm reading over sales tips proven over 160 years. I'm going, holy cow. Wow. It makes perfect sense now.
Yeah.
It started with books, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the book sales obviously propelled you into what you're doing now, but in the book sales, what type of things help you, I mean, you know, grind your teeth on? What were the things that showed you that I've got grit, I can do this, I can actually make money at doing this. This is my own business. Because at that point, you were self-employed, huh? 1099.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Always been.
That's awesome.
So yeah, I mean, it is the opportunity to learn how to run your own business. I mean, they take college kids, and you know, college kids are like typically the, you know, the reputation of a college kid.
Yeah.
Like, oh, let me just go hang out. And but they really have a good opportunity to like train someone on how to motivate yourself when you don't feel like it.
Yeah.
How to overcome objections, how to trust the process, which is a huge thing. So they're just known for really good sales training and teaching someone how to be successful. So, and essentially, like in that first summer, I'm like, I had, you know, maybe sold candy. Like I hadn't really, I had fundraised before, but I had never really had sales experience that I can remember. But anyways, pretty much in 9 weeks, went out, usually it's about 13 weeks, but went out there, trusted the process. My first summer, I was number 27 out of couple thousand kids. And
so you found your niche
quick. I just said, show me what to do. And that's what I'll do.
That's awesome.
And,
and found success in it. That in my opinion was the training that you had there. Would you say that it was almost about equal in value to the degree that you got in a shorter period of time?
At first, like the, cause you have, knocking on doors 80 to 100 hours a week, you gotta have a strong why.
Yeah, absolutely.
and
thick skin.
Yeah, you know, learned a lot of things.
And then depending on what time of the year,
summer.
Jacket or,
yeah.
Wow.
So whether it's rain or shine or hot or cold.
Wow.
I would say like some of the biggest things that I learned from that or took away from that is like you can go through a lot of things in a short amount of time and it doesn't become about the problem. It becomes about how you decide to solve the problem or see the problem. So had a huge perspective shift in that. I was previous to that. I didn't have a lot of confidence in myself and decision-making and I took everything personally. Mm-hmm. And I had like, I saw the way I was and that wasn't the person that I wanted to be or who I knew I could be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was one of the main things I wanted to get from doing that particularly.
Sure.
And I would say some of the things that you learn from having those experiences and overcoming challenges. We won't go into what all the challenges can be.
No, by all means. And that's kind of one of the things I wanted to ask.
Okay.
Can you give me a scenario to which you failed? You had to overcome something that most maybe would not have in just the book sales piece of this. I don't know. Is that taking you too far back?
No. And I think of I kind of compare the first summer, because you have no idea what you're doing. And then the summers after that, it's like, you know what you're getting into.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But I think of one story from my first summer. I remember them saying, okay, the answer lies behind the next door. Just go, keep going, right? Just keep knocking.
Kind of like in my business, I say loans solve everything.
Yeah.
Go get more.
The answer lies behind the next call.
Absolutely.
Pick up the phone. Next. Yeah. Kind of loud. I remember my first summer there was someone that was having a bad day.
Okay.
And I can't remember if they slammed the door in my face or said something mean. I just remember sitting in my car and crying for 10 minutes, being like, this is terrible. Why am I doing this? And you start going down the self-pity route. And then I caught myself. I'm like, wait, what am I doing? I'm wasting time. Let me just go knock on another door. And that next door ended up being my first big sale of the summer.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Overcoming the adversity, a rejection, typically where someone would absolutely say, you know what, I'm packing up my stuff. And this is that. Mm-hmm. And then seeing the light immediately, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So,
and there's other examples where it's like you don't see the light immediately. You go through a lot of stuff. You go through a lot of cred to find the pony, as we like to say. Like there's got to be something out there around the corner.
So. Absolutely. And it does take time, dependent upon the industry that you're in, dependent upon the level of sales training you've had. And in my opinion, you can only have so much sales training that you have to then take and put that into action to start failing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the objections start coming and then overcoming the objections. And then you're mastering that art. And obviously I believe you have somewhat mastered that to be able to be a successful elite coach now. Mm-hmm. But something I want to go back to is you had mentioned self-employed since day one, other than the gymnastics gig, right? Mm-hmm. How quickly or how long did it take for you to understand business, the business side or business aspect of it? Because there's many parts of entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
There's the self-employed aspect. There's the growing a business aspect, managing all of those good things. How quickly or how long did it take for you to understand the money aspect of it?
I think this is very different for everyone.
But yeah.
From my perspective, within my first summer, I learned very quickly P&L type things.
Yeah,
gotta keep the costs low, keep the expenses low, and you're gonna get more profit. So.
And what would you, let's say, advise for someone starting a business, no matter what kind of business it is, first year, working for themselves in that aspect?
There's an investment period.
Okay.
Use that word specifically.
Investment period. Why do you say that?
Because some people can see things as a cost or an expense versus where are you at right now? Where are you at in the business? Are you just getting started? Are you giving yourself time and are you giving consistent effort to see things pan out? Or are you just saying, oh, I tried this, it didn't work?
Right.
Giving yourself enough time to be able to look yourself in the mirror and say, I gave this my best shot. Yeah.
And then furthermore, do you think it takes a specific individual to, instead of trying things, to continue to push forward until they get it type person? Mm-hmm. Is that a personality trait? Do you believe that it's something that can be learned or is it innate?
In terms of specifically sales ability?
Or, I don't want to say sales ability.
Or just running a business?
Running a business. Okay. The grit of not making money, if that makes sense. Because if you have started a business, I don't care what business it was, you either didn't make money or you were in the hole that you had to climb out of, right?
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that that is something, and there are many people that start businesses and fail, and there are many that fail and continue, or they switch it, their business model or a complete business plan. But is that something that you think is innate or is it something that can be learned?
In my opinion, both.
Okay.
And I'll explain why. I think going back to what I said earlier, whether you start a business brand new, or whether you're starting a new venture or going into something, mm-hmm. it's like, if you don't know why you're doing it, it sounds cliche, but it's like, if you don't have a clear why, then if we're driving down the road with peanut butter on the window, how are we going to get there?
Touche. Yeah, no. And I don't think it sounds cliche. I think it is cliche from an outside perspective, because people hear that a lot mm-hmm. in motivational speeches or mm-hmm. from coaches, things of that nature, but it is the truth. It's just a fact.
Yeah.
It's like, being made cliche because you're not buying into it.
Right.
And something it's almost, that, like, it's the gospel.
Something that like hit me in the face one time at our training, in a positive way.
Okay.
I like to say positive. Yeah.
What did the five fingers say to the face? That's what I should have asked.
Oh, goodness. We had one of our colleagues like stand on the stage. We have obviously a lot of keynote speakers and things mm-hmm. like that. Great, great things that come. But they had referenced like the strength of your endurance is directly tied to the clarity of your vision.
Okay.
So breaking that down, it's like if you have a clear vision, you're not going to get tipped over or rocked as easily, or you're going to be more emotionally resilient.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, is that more along the lines of, if we went layman even more, starting with the end in sight?
Mm-hmm.
That perspective?
Yeah. And then giving yourself grace to be like, okay, well, what I thought I had wanted mm-hmm. has shifted a little bit, and that's okay too. But continuing to check in with yourself on like, okay, why am I doing this? Like,
yeah.
And am I still passionate about this? And, you know,
so what I'm hearing is, no, it's not necessarily innate, but if they're going to be coach or coachable or adaptable, I mm-hmm. should say, they need to be self-aware, very self-aware, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that type of personality trait.
Yeah.
Like, honest with themselves.
Honest with themselves, mm-hmm. open to growing, like open to taking advice or learning from other people, willing to make mistakes and fail forward, mm-hmm. not just be like, oh, that didn't work out.
Yeah. Packing it up and going home. Mm-hmm. Right. And that happens quite often. But
did that answer your question?
100%.
Okay.
Yeah. So now that you are transitioning, or you're at what point did you stop selling books? Mm. What point did you say, you know what, it's time to go to the next level? And yeah. I don't know how much you could make off of books, but there's mm-hmm. got to be another level mm-hmm. to this, right?
Yeah. And for me, like, I knew I needed to do it. I didn't know I would do it for four years.
Okay.
But I did. And then I had obviously graduated college already, so I became a corporate recruiter. So in the school year, I would recruit college students and build teams and teach them how to go do it and run organizations of other teams. And so you'd have a group of anywhere from like 20 to 40 kids in a region and say, okay, you have this county, you have this county. And
I like it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the way I like to, I guess, illustrate that is kind of a pyramid concept. You were able to see or be enlightened to the concept of the pyramid, and every business, doesn't matter what it is a pyramid. Person at the top makes the most, and the people at the bottom technically are disposable or replaceable, so to speak, right? That's what everybody believes. You were enlightened or were able to start at a young age seeing a bigger picture of mm-hmm. how this thing works, mm-hmm. business, so mm-hmm. to speak. You've got your business that you've done a great job at, it, mm-hmm. and now you're able to implement it or coach others or recruit others mm-hmm. to do that with under you, creating a sense of residual mm-hmm. into a bigger pot.
Right.
Right. So, most people don't get that. They work, mm-hmm. make good money, commission, or self-employed, work. Mm-hmm. They don't get that bigger concept of recruiting residual, that mm-hmm. stuff. So mm-hmm. What was that? Yeah.
And that was, you know, kind of the same thing. Like, there is no guarantee with that. So it's like recruiting. Like, I loved recruiting, but it was so much more emotional because you get yourself attached to this person. Mm-hmm. And maybe a day before you're supposed to leave, they're like, no, peace out, I'm not doing it. Or you see so much potential in someone and you know they could do it and they need to do it
mm-hmm.
and they don't believe it in themselves.
Yeah.
And that's what was heartbreaking for me. But then I also saw the other side of it where it's like, This person, man, not only are they going to learn a lot, but they're going to break some belief barriers and they're going to go crush it. And yeah. like, I got to experience both of those. And I, you know, got to experience having the number three team and having the number one first year. And like seeing those people where they're like, and to answer your question from earlier, that's what made me passionate about going into coaching, is because I had such great relationships with these college kids that looked at me and said, that was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, but I learned so much. Thank you.
Yeah.
Like, man, like, I just like the aspect of, one, like, having this network of really cool people who like to work hard, who do what they say they're going to do and are just kind people.
Right.
And then also being able to help them get past some of their own stuff.
Yeah. And that's one of the same things that I also have experienced in my progression.
Mm-hmm.
And it is one of those things that I ask, did you, obviously that there is, how do I say this? There is a motivation or a drive, and then there becomes an inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, people are not inspired to just jump out there, boom, go and keep it running. It's they jump out there, they find success or something that sparks an inspiration, and that's when it increases. They level up, so mm-hmm. to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Did you experience that, or were you inspired by doing this instantly?
It's interesting that you say that, because you like I see this analogy of like you level up and then you just keep going. To me, it's like you level up, hit a wall.
Yeah.
Maybe take a step back and then level up, hit a wall.
That's right.
It's, you know, and, it's not and always
I don't
pretty.
Remember what rapper it says, but he said, there's levels to this. There's levels.
Yeah. But I loved what you had said earlier today, which is just like, and this is with the majority of leaders that we coach and people like who are top of the top in their field. It's like, hey, I've gotten to where I am for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
But the common thread is that they still say, hey, I don't know what I don't know. And for me, like, I know I always want to be a lifelong learner. Like I know there's something, no matter what their age or their background is, there's always something to learn from someone or just appreciate.
I agree. I mean, and that the saying, if you don't use it, you lose it. Mm-hmm. I believe that that's true. So you have to continue to progress in addition to your trade, your craft, your mind. You've got to continue to expand
student
it, exercise
game.
It, be a student of the game.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's keep going. That's good stuff. That is. Where were we at? We were talking about your inspiration. Were you inspired?
Yeah.
And if so, obviously you are. You can see your passion. It comes mm-hmm. through. It comes through when you're coaching me in particular. I mm-hmm. see it when you're giving presentations. What sparked that inspiration?
Mm. So originally transitioning from recruiting and selling books,
okay.
It was that aspect, that concept of like helping people.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a common thread between all of our coaches is just they have a passion for not only helping people and helping to inspire, but also to make a greater impact.
Sure.
You know, that philosophy of like, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of what inspires me. Like today, like now that I'm coaching, hearing things like, you know, people say, oh my gosh, like not only seeing some people like completely transform their life from a financial perspective, but also from a time perspective and having like awesome clients be able to say, you know, I might not even be like in a sales role, but this has completely transformed the way I am as a person, the way I have confidence in myself and the way I'm being able to be more present with my family. Those kind of things are what inspire me now.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, and it is true. I mean, I'm a testament to it. So it is true. And kind of like the same thing in my industry, getting a borrower to the finish line that was once told you can't or you won't is the bomb.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's worth more than the money. The money obviously is nice, and
right,
we wouldn't do
helping.
What we do, right?
Yeah.
But it's a different button that it pushes,
mm-hmm.
And I think that button is the button that makes you want more, mm-hmm. bigger, help more people in a bigger way.
Mm-hmm.
How do you impact the most, et cetera, et cetera? But mm-hmm. Yeah. So now that we've kind of opened the door to coaching. That's obviously how I met you. You're an elite level coach.
Mm-hmm.
You coach how many people to how depths of where,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What's that all about?
Yeah.
Tell me you.
So, I coach about 30 people right now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But,
oh my gosh. Mm-hmm.
But we have
it's
over
like 30 children, huh?
Some of them.
I can imagine.
No, I'm just kidding. I coach about 30 people approximately, give or take a couple, depending on how full the roster is. But we have over 120 coaches internationally. So I still have clients that are I consider my clients even if I don't coach them.
Sure.
Because realistically, I know I'm not going to be the best coach for everyone. But I know we have such amazing coaches and I'm
right.
going to match them with the right coach and still be there for them.
No, that's
well
awesome. That is awesome. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine that it is something that even after you've coached someone and they're done, they're graduated, they've gotten what they've needed from that
mm-hmm.
agreement, so to speak, continues to give, because if you're leaving an impact, they're going to tell more.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, and I've been in this role now 6 years. Mm-hmm. And I've seen both. I've seen people who are like, hey, this is great. And they still continue to use some of the things they talk through. And I still love keeping in touch with people. Mm-hmm. And then I have other people where I've been coaching them for over 5 years. So
that's awesome. Mm-hmm. That is awesome. So now that that door is open, I want to shed some light on what coaching is, mm-hmm. what perception of coaching is, mm-hmm. From your perspective. I mean, mm-hmm. what's coaching? Mm-hmm. Why would someone want coaching, need coaching, and take it from there?
Yeah. Well, the easiest way that I describe it, it's kind of like having a personal trainer. Like, I can go to the gym by myself. I can work out. I've played sports, all of these things. But if I hire a personal trainer, I'm telling them I'm going to be there at this time. I'm paying them money. Mm-hmm. They're going to give me not only the accountability I'm looking for, but they're going to have that motivation when I don't feel like it. They're going to have the techniques that I might not have thought of that day. So I would say it's similar to that, but for your business and for your life.
Okay.
So,
and is it, I know with me, it's had to be very, how do you call it? Not a la carte, but catered, if that makes sense.
Customized.
There you go. Sorry. Not sorry.
It's okay.
But thank you for keeping up. I mean, by all means.
Yeah.
But that leads me to ask, is it one size fit all mm-hmm. for the listeners? I mean, mm-hmm. is coaching something for everyone, or what's that?
It's kind of like, it's weird to say, because I'm like, everyone needs a coach. And in the same breath, I can also say not everyone's a fit for coaching, and coaching's not a fit for everyone.
Okay.
I think it is very individualized, and I think what works for one person might not work for the next person. So mm-hmm. it is really about finding the right fit. Like I said earlier, I think that's one of the things that differentiates our program, is mm-hmm. like, we actually do try to meet somebody where they're at. And if you're more focused on getting your time organized right now, great. The next person I'm coaching is more focused on prospecting and, you know,
sales capture, mm-hmm. different yeah. types of angles of the business.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is cool. Having gone through coaching with you, that you are able, you personally, I don't have experience from others, but mm-hmm. are able to shift given the flavor of the week, I should say.
Well, you know, the biggest differentiator I've seen, it comes down to communication.
Mm-hmm.
Like, communication, transparency. Like, if somebody's, I can't read your mind and say, oh, this is what Mark needs right now. It's like, I think the reason that, you know, we've done some great things together is because it's like, hey, how are we doing? Where are we at?
Right.
What do we need to go faster or slower? Do we need to pivot what we're doing?
Mm-hmm.
And sure, that's easy sometimes, or sometimes not easy to ask as a coach, but someone being willing to have a conversation around that, I think, makes a huge difference.
Yeah. So somebody that's coachable. Mm-hmm. No, that absolutely makes perfect sense. So in coaching, those that are listening, what do you believe perception of coaching is? Versus what reality is. Does that make sense, or is that too broad of a question?
Yeah, can you explain it a different way?
So most think coaching is something that is, number one, expensive. They believe that they don't need one, no matter the level of success or unsuccess that they're in. For some reason, people believe they can do it on their own.
Mm.
And me attesting to the fact that there's somebody for everybody in regards to coaching.
Mm-hmm.
How do you overcome that?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. What would you tell someone that believes that it's too expensive, that it's not worth their time, and potentially believe they can do it on their own?
Mm-hmm.
I can do it with motivational videos. I can do it by, who knows, mm-hmm. online, mm-hmm. some kind of course.
Yeah. And if somebody's at that point, great for them.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's about like where someone's at. But I will say, in my experience, talking to a lot of people, mm-hmm. Typically the reason why someone thinks they don't need coaching is the reason they need to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have time for coaching. That's probably why you should do it. I can't afford coaching. That's probably why you should do it.
Wow. And that makes perfect sense, actually.
It's a perspective. Like, are you looking at it as an expense, or are you looking at it as an investment? Like, I had a financial advisor client one time, and I love this, because he's like, Katie, the safest investment I could make is in myself. And I'm like,
I 100% agree with that.
Keeping that.
Yep. Best investment you can make is
yeah.
in yourself.
Yeah. And so it just, I mean, to answer your question directly, I think it just depends on like what is the fear behind that? What's holding that person back? Because right. that's typically what we see a lot. It's like, I know I need to do this, but let me wait on it.
And is coaching for someone that no matter what level they're at, or would mm-hmm. you say if you're just starting, you may not need coaching yet because you need to figure out what the hell you're doing first?
It's been interesting because you talk to people and they're like, oh, I have somebody new in sales. They could totally use you. And they think their perception of coaching is the only people that need coaching is just starting out, or maybe they're struggling. When actuality, we coach some of the top producers in a lot of different industries across the world. So it's, we coach everyone from brand new to sales, and they need some help. They need some guidance. They need structure to some of the top producers who are like, I don't need to grow my business. I need to consolidate and figure out how I can sustain this.
Yeah. And do you just coach mortgage professionals? Who all do you coach?
Mm-hmm. The main industries that we work with are mortgage, real estate, insurance, financial planning, but not limited to that at all.
Okay. Yeah,
coached a lot of different professionals. I've coached people who are not in sales.
Give me an example.
I coached a few tech people.
Okay.
Who, you know, just wanted to focus on better communication skills and better time management and some of those other things just to be better and more efficient. Mm-hmm. Goodness, it goes all over the place.
Like, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, we've coached doctors and lawyers and people who are running their own businesses.
Right.
It's like you're still in sales.
Absolutely. Anything that, in my opinion, you make money at is sales. Unless, well, even still, there's a portion of a tech's progression that requires a little bit of sales mm-hmm. on their own part mm-hmm. to even get the
gig.
And
I love the concept when people are like, oh, I'm not in sales. I just educate people. And I'm like, well, what is your definition of sales?
When you close, do you get paid? Yeah, you're in sales.
Yes. It's like, well, you know, and it's part of the creed of Southwestern is like changing the practice and perception of mm-hmm. what sales is, because it's not pushing people to buy something. It's just being able to have a good conversation, ask really good questions, find a need, and provide a service.
I like that.
So,
can you repeat that one more time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sales is just being able to ask really good questions, find a need, and provide a service.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I mean, let me see what time we're at. We're pretty good on time. We got a little bit longer. So let's talk about where you're at now in your career. Mm-hmm. I know through the, I guess, progression of our tenure in coaching, you had gone from one level to another. So mm-hmm. essentially leveled up again. Mm-hmm. What was that due to? What mm-hmm. caused that?
I'll take it way back for a second.
Being a boss.
Go ahead. Well, actually, when I first got into coaching and being a coach, obviously we're still practitioners of what we preach. I'm not mm-hmm. going to coach someone to prospect if I'm not doing it myself, all of that. We highly believe in that. And I will say I had some trouble at first. Like I felt like I was hitting a wall, mainly due to because I was so used to seeing people in person and mm-hmm. being able to sell to people in person when I was picking up the phone and getting hung up on left and right, yeah. all of that stuff. I was like, I don't do this. I actually remember a time I was running in my neighborhood on a run, and my team leader at the time called, and she's like, hey, what's going on? I'm like, I can't do this. I'd rather go knock on this door than pick up the phone.
That's awesome.
But with some guidance and with, you know, some shifted perspective.
Sure, perspective.
I overcame that. And now it's like, man, where am I going to find my next treasure? Because some of That's my awesome. Best clients, like I'm still have great relationships with years later. And I'm like, man, if I hadn't picked up that phone, if I hadn't done that, I wouldn't have the awesome people in my life now. So,
well, I agree with that. That's pretty cool. And you being in Florida, mm-hmm. how did COVID affect you, or did it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It did. I mean, everyone has their own interpretation mm-hmm. of concept of Florida, but
touche.
It did. And it's been interesting because like we shifted our business model from only in-person workshops and doing that to being able to do it virtually. So we were actually able to do that not only in a timely manner, but right. actually successfully. So we were able to help our clients do the same as well too. So, yeah.
So smooth transition. You guys as a group had a plan ready to go for mm-hmm. this. And I truly believe that most bigger companies did, just because they were preparing for future, being more efficient in the way things go about in the sales industry.
Adaptable.
Yeah. Or adaptive. Yes. Mm-hmm. And with COVID, it obviously shrank that. And mm-hmm. now we are where we are.
Yeah.
So that being the case, you being in Florida, are you able to coach others? Obviously, you coach me. I'm in Texas. You're in Florida, mm-hmm. but others don't know that. What's that like?
Yeah, I coach everyone from California to New York. I'm coaching a guy in Lithuania right now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, all over the place.
So you got to catch him just right.
Yeah.
On the time, right?
I'm in the morning, he's in the afternoon. Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of coordination of time zones and things like that. But I can coach people from all over, do workshops with people from all over, you know, whether it's coming here in person or whether it's doing that virtually. I know some people are like zoomed out at this point, but try to make it as fun and interactive as possible. And people still see value in it.
Okay. Now, as despite the COVID or anything like that, just with the progression of technology, mm-hmm. have you changed the way you capture business? Have you changed the way you go about that process? Mm-hmm. Is it still the same? Are you still able to? Are you seeing that technology is better? What's your perception on it? Because there's some millennials that are early adopters. There's some that are not adopting. And then there's some that are wanting to, you know, there's that in-between stage and everybody perceives that we're super techie. That's not always the case.
Right. I think I'm a big believer in not putting all your eggs in one basket. It's like, if you're going to fish, well, putting more than one pole in the water is going to be a great way to do that. So, I'm from Florida, so I like fishing.
Genius.
So I think it's a mixture of both. I think, sure, I can go knock on doors. I can go cold call. I can go prospect. And at the same time, if I'm going to work smart, not just hard, I'm going to leverage the people that know, love, and trust me to ask for referrals. And, through social media and technology, like, I think it's not a either or, it's an and.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah.
Okay. So are you using that stuff now? What's it like?
I am.
Okay. You're dabbling.
I'm dabbling. Yes. I am, like I said, a practitioner of what I preach. Okay. So if I encourage others to be coachable, I'm always going to be coachable myself. And
guys, gals listening, the reason why I am kind of probing on this is I have been a little voice, trying to see if Katie will push a different phase of how she goes about things. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we'll be able to see some kind of difference, because I want to be able to give back to you in some way, shape, or form.
Well, I appreciate that.
But
I mean, like I said, I'm a big believer. I just love connecting with open-minded, growth-minded people and being able to see where that goes, right? Like being able to tell the stories I've told today of like the people that, whether it was someone I recruited selling books and how they've gotten to where they are now, whether it's a client that I might have coached but I didn't even enroll, but I still have an amazing relationship or story from this person of what they gained, or whether it's the clients that I'm currently coaching. And who knows what, you know, from 5 years from now, what kind of conversation we're going to be having.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
To me what's exciting.
And I think that's huge. I think that the perception of what entrepreneurs do, why they get into it, why they stay in it, I believe we can all relate in that aspect, in the sense that we enjoy the journey. Mm-hmm. It's not the prize. Why? Because the prize is constantly moving. We're constantly pushing the prize either further down the road or up the ladder, mm-hmm. which have you. Mm-hmm. But you're correct. The journey that spawns off or webs out into other opportunities that lead into other perspectives that lead you down where we are today.
Yeah.
You know, kind of that concept.
Yeah.
So as we conclude this, I want to ask if there's anything out there in way of advice that you have for millennials. It can be general, it can be specific, but give us some Katie-ism.
If I had to abbreviate it, I'd say work hard, be kind, and do what you say you're going to do.
I like that. I mean, that's short and sweet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, also I'd say give yourself enough time to do something and go after it. An effort, but also give yourself grace.
I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that. Needs no further explanation. Katie, thank you. Thank you for visiting Texas. Thank you for putting on two awesome workshops earlier today. And thank you for stepping out of the comfort zone and jumping in the box. I think this is going to be a pretty good episode. There's plenty that folks can take from this. So I really appreciate
that. I hope so. Yeah.
And I appreciate you and the coaching that you provide to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, thanks. I appreciate you.
Well, guys, gals, thanks for listening. You heard it here. Join us for the next one.